Today, I want to talk about a topic that is a little bit of a continuation of my last sermon 4 weeks ago, which was about God's greatness and how we sometimes can be, how we sometimes just can stand in awe of this, in awe of who God is. And when I was thinking about this topic for this Sunday, it was natural to continue this. And now I want to talk about our role, or at least for me, what comes naturally when you get these insights into how great God really is and how we can be in awe of God. Then we look back at ourselves and all of a sudden it's very easy to be humble. This is a big topic. It would be great to have it as a bigger topic sometime, but so I just want to call this a small insight into humility, a possibility to reflect yourselves a little bit into, see these long definitions and know these long definitions of it can come another time. I want to start with looking at how the Bible views this. When I myself think about what humility is, the first thing I came to think of is that humility is a little bit like silence. If you open your mouth and say that it's quiet, then it's not quiet anymore. So it's a little bit like that with humility. When you talk about how humble you are, then that's it for humility. That's my immediate definition that I came to think of. So I want to start with 1 Peter 5:5-6. And there are many Bible passages about humility. So many of them I can't mention now, but in 1 Peter 5:5-6, it says, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." The Muslim. God, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." And then after this, the verse comes about, "Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." So this is a very central role, an attitude of the heart that we can have as Christians. And that leads to this, that it becomes easier to trust God, to believe God, when you realize his greatness. And here we also see these two opposing sides. Sometimes the easiest thing to see, what is something to look at, what is it not? So pride is the opposite. Then you can think about for a minute where we live right now in the culture and the noise that we're living in. Is it more humility that is being encouraged and has a natural role? Is it closer to be humble, or is it closer to be proud? So at least in my feed, the news that I read and how people present themselves on social media in my life, it's a lot about not maybe only pride, but a lot having to do with pride. It's about marketing yourself to explain who you are and what you can do. There's also the possibility to be another person privately, but then on, for example, the internet or in your professional life, to be a completely different person. And then I think it's very often people are more drawn to the side of pride than humility. And what I also think is very noticeable is that humility can very often today be seen as somebody who has given up being passive. Like humility can be where pride is more the dynamic of putting yourself forward and doing something, doing what's necessary to reach out and reach forward. And I had a discussion with my brother, and I can't really say more details because this is a phenomenon that I'm after another person, but I was in a radio program that was about this one person, and it was also a lot about this person was talking about how they're being driven by doing good and driven by giving the voice to the silent. And I said, well, I know what this person is like, and I know that after this professional role, she took a very different professional role that did not support these things that she talked about, that she was driven by. But then I realized, while I was talking to my brother, that isn't that how you need to do it today? In order to follow your dream and to be allowed to do what you really want to do, you have to first be able to explain why you are the right person, why you have everything figured out about yourself, and you can just step into this to reach out and to be special. This thing about working your way up to something with action showing who you are, that's harder today. You should just be able to explain why you can do good things. And this is a part of our culture, something we have to live with. And if you're bad at this, you can learn to be able to going in the direction that you want. So the great danger is if you take this into your whole life and also your spiritual life, if you there try to explain to God that this is why I'm great and this is why you should love me, and when it's the opposite with God, His love, how awesome you are, does not affect His love to you in the way that you might think if you follow the world's rules. And this happened, something like this, in the Bible. And in this topic, this was one of the first places that I thought about, since it's so practical. And you can see it so much. And this is a story that Jesus tells in Luke 18, 9-14. It's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18, 9-14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So this is a parable that is very clear. This humanity comes out very clearly here. So this can be a mirror that we can reflect ourselves in. Have we seen this? Can we recognize this? The how the Pharisee or the tax collector was praying? Here's the one who is okay and the one who's not okay, and thankfully I'm okay. Oh no, all these people, now I have to like elbow my way forward and tell God why I'm so good. So all our efforts and that your faith can be seen in action, and that our faith that you know that you are doing or you're not doing things that people should do or shouldn't do. That's not good or bad to know that, but to take this attitude to God and to tell God that I know that there are people like this and I'm happy I'm not them. And then I also want to comment that remember that we also live after the cross, after Jesus' death. And that's why our prayer would look a little bit different than this tax collector. So because we know that God is merciful and God has shown his love to us in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And I want to remind everyone of that. And I want to show our highest example of humility. It's a humbling experience to read about who is humility, who is humble. So I want to go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. It's a lot of other things are also written about humility in Philippians. I recommend reading it. And I want to read the verses 5 to 8, which are focused on Jesus. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So here we can see this humility in action. To lay down your life for somebody else. That you have everything but to give it away and to come as a servant. And every time I know I'm supposed to share something like this, something very humbling, a topic where I know that now there's nothing in me that's great. Me and myself, I'm not qualified to share this. And when my husband asks, what are you talking about? Then I say, I don't want to talk about this, but I can give this feeling that I say, I'm preaching about the importance of being perfect, a perfect and obedient wife. And then we snicker because we both know that there are flaws in that area. So it says here that look to Jesus. look to what he does or what he did. And there's not so more you can, much more you can even say about it, to be in awe of who Jesus was and who Jesus is and everything he did, everything that we in the gospel see him going through, all the times that you could imagine that, oh, didn't he think that, oh, they don't deserve this, I want to go back to heaven, or I want to put you right so you know who you're talking to. No, he didn't do that. He was humble to put it away. And then he came here as a man, as a servant, and shows an example to us. And he's our utmost example. And here we also see how humility, we're being, how it's in our minds. It says that have the same mind and attitude as Jesus Christ. So humility starts inside us, and then it comes out in our actions. It's like mildness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. I also believe that having a close relationship to God makes this humility and humble attitude to come out in different ways in life, where it's needed as fruit on a tree. And here we also see who it is that we first and foremost are humbling ourselves before. Christ Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto the death. I also want to say that telling others to humble themselves, it's not a weapon. Somebody tells you that, like, now you have to humble yourselves and do this and that, then you can be very critical towards that. And you can mirror yourself in the Word and in Christians that you trust. And at the same time, just because somebody says or talks about that you should humble yourself in general, talked about like new kind of spirituality a month ago, and there's also a big emphasis on being humble, but you're being humble before life as a whole, before the universe, different gods and so on. But for us as Christians, it's God that we are being, and to be humble before. To be humble before God and his goodwill of our lives. Now I'm going to talk about what I don't believe is humility. I've taken part of many different sermons about humility, and it was from many different churches, some more charismatic and some of them more calm and thoughtful. A little bit from both sides. And there were some different points of view, and I think that you can see the same scale like in people. Some people are more calm and some people are more driven. That we are created in different ways and we have different challenges in different areas. And that's why humility can look different in different people's lives. And then there can be a danger. You define humility too narrowly, that you define humility as a personal characteristic that if you're quiet and calm, then you're humble. And that's why it's good if you think about that humility for real, to be under God's will, to submit to Him, to have the same mindset as Christ. Does it really have to do with quietness or being talkative? Or what is it actually about? And this is maybe about something different, but I just want to talk a little bit about. I have a hard time with if something is all the same. It's okay if the church has the same vision. Maybe you share the same liturgies, the same musical taste, and so on. But if it goes into individual level, that everybody is the same, how you have felt the whole life, maybe you change how you speak, or everybody wears the same hat, or everybody uses the same shoes, or then I start questioning that. Like, what is this about? Who are we submitting to here? But that's just a personal thing that I have been looking at, thinking of. Another thing I don't think humility is, and I'm quite certain it's not humility, it's looking down on yourself. Thinking like, oh, but I'm nothing. This false humility. That in different ways you push down yourself and you make yourself smaller than what you really are. Of course, I recognize myself in this, and there is, of course, my hope that if I say that I am nothing, then maybe somebody else will say that, yes, you are somebody. And then I've been humble, and somebody else lifted me up. But life is teaching me that, or God's leading is teaching me that it doesn't really work that way. We can just take, for example, David's words from Psalm 139 in our mouth, and in Psalm 139 and 14, where it says that, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And this attitude we can have about ourselves and also towards others, that we are wonderfully made. It's not humble to push yourself down and to say, no, I'm nobody. Of course, Jesus is great in us. And of course, Jesus should become bigger and we should become smaller. But at the same time, I think there is something small that steals our steals from us if we have this as an attitude that I am nobody, I know nothing, I can't do anything. It's throwing away your gifts a little bit. If you think like, I can't do it, I don't know, how are you to develop your gifts? Another thing that I don't think humility is that you would become a doormat. Or that you have to submit to everything and everybody all the time. If you think that, okay, I'm humble, so I should also be passive. That you never do anything because things could go wrong. So that's what you're afraid of. But that you call it something else. You call it humility when it's fear. The one that our humility is all about is that we are humble before God and the role that God has in our lives and this example that Jesus gives us. And something else that is not humility is Now I'm humble. Hopefully somebody noticed. I did something good. I hope somebody could see that, hopefully as many people as possible. Then you're a little bit on the way of the Pharisee again there from Luke 18. And you probably have different examples of this, what you don't think humility is, even though others maybe talk about it in that way. But I think the first step away from this is not to get mad at yourself or look down on yourself, but you can ask yourself with a curiosity that, okay, I seem to have this in my heart. I wonder where it came from. I wonder what it is that makes me want to people to see me doing good things. Why is it so important? I wonder why I have this tendency to look down on myself. Why I would want to bow down to everybody. Where does this come from? But to curiously look at yourself this way, and that's a good first step. And then finally, I want to talk about some things that humility gives us. It is, and again, connected to awe, that humility helps us to have a hopeful attitude about the things that God does in your own life and in other people's lives. That you can see that we really are serving a good, big God. Then it makes you humble for this timeline and humble for this our own role, that people need Jesus, that you don't think that, like, oh, these people need Jesus, I need to do this in 1 week, otherwise I have failed. But it gives you a peace, which is not a passivity, but just an invitation to a peace in your life, that all of a sudden it's easier to reconcile to the thought that, okay, everything is not dependent on me. But you have the opportunity to trust in God and in His good plans. Then another thing is humility, when humility is needed, and it's in being a part of the body of Christ and accepting that we are many and we are important. Was a little slow with checking that we have somebody in worship today. I was wondering how can I do worship with my family. Selom can play one song on the flute. We can't get very far on that. I can play the tambourine. Freestyling. So we are important. Important parts. In the body of Christ that is here, and also there's so many things that you can do apart from this building, and they're also important. And this humility makes it's not so bad to look at your limitations and to see that, oh no, if somebody's gone, then I can't take that person's role. But there is the possibility that in different ways, in these other roles that you have, to see your limitations, to ask for help, to seek help from others. And also that you can be thankful for the gifts that other people have. And then finally, we'll come back again. I'm coming back again in my sermons to this, that what helps you to persist in the Christian life. It's not always just a reward right here and right now with being humble. And of course, there's this tendency okay, I want to push away somebody else. For somebody else, it says that you shouldn't choose the best spot because it's better to not choose that one and somebody else calls you up to it, or whatever it says, that somebody calls you up to the better spot, then you choosing it from the beginning. And then somebody asks you to go away. Then the danger is, oh no, I didn't sit down in the best spot. When is somebody coming to get me to the best spot? But then when you get this perspective, and this eternal perspective, you think that, oh, just keep your best spots. There's something better for me. And I want to read from Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And growing in humility. Another thing that I believe is God's work in us is humility, and that the reward for this won't come here and now, but it'll come later. It'll come later when we inherit the earth. And this gives us strength. And it also gives us this attitude of realizing that no, everything is not dependent on me. When we know that the best is ahead of us. And this is something that is good to have in the back of your mind. In this area. At the time when the best, the time that the when the meek are inheriting the earth is still coming.